so good.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning my way this morning. I am Reverend Tommy Bounce. Say, we've been doing this for a lot of years, but I hope today that we can bring a ray of sunshine into your heart. We are living in a dark, dark day, and I'm going to talk more about that just a little bit on. But I believe that we're living in the days of sorrow. A lot of people have different opinions of all this. But listen, we can have different opinions, but it's not a matter of going to hell or going to heaven because of the situation of this coronavirus that we have. It's just a deadly and dangerous thing, and you must be very careful. So I hope today that you're well, and you're listening to the broadcast. I'm sorry for last week, but we had to play the tape over due to the fact that they're doing us different now. We're having to mail them in each Sunday, and I never even got the word on that until a little bit later on. But anyhow, we are live this morning. So let's go into our broadcast today by doing this beautiful song for you.
Storms of life have shattered all your hopes and plans, and the light upon the path you walk is dim. Remember, God still loves you, and He holds you in His hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. You know you've searched in all directions, but the way is not safe. It seems that confusion and doubt, they seem to lie on every hand. God will not forsake you. He is your dearest friend, and He tells you, cast your care upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you've had within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within our soul. Reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
Yes, sir, we can reach out in faith and cast our cares upon Him. You know, I remember Job in the book of Job, and Job, when his family went out to play, he went out to pray. And I preach a sermon on that, on fear. And you know, fear is a deadly and dangerous thing. And he feared a fear, and it brought it to pass. So this is something that we need to be concerned about and worried about. We don't want to be worried about it, I'm sorry. Yeah, we've got to be concerned about it. But I believe that if God be for us, who can be against us? And we just got to be careful and be very cautious and take care of ourselves. Do what they tell you to do, and don't put yourself in jeopardy, because I believe that fear has torment. You know, Jesus would say to the disciples, "Fear not, little flock. It's always His good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom." So let's try desperately today not to fear, but look to God. Look to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith.
I lost my way. My feet did stray to shifting, sinking sand. I could not go much farther without a helping hand. Well, standing there all alone, a voice to me did say, "If you're looking for Mount Calvary, I can show you the way." Working my way back to Calvary. It's been so long since I've been there. Working my way back to Calvary. This narrow path will take me there. Just ahead, an old familiar pathway I can see. From the light that's in the distance, that old cross I plainly can see. Through tear-stained eyes, I struggle on, as a voice to me did say, "If you're looking for Mount Calvary, let me show you the way." Working my way back to Calvary. It's been so long since I've been there. Working my way back to Calvary. This narrow path will take me there. Yes, this narrow path will take me there.
Yes, sir, this narrow path will take us there. We've got to stand firm and believe God. The Bible said all things are possible to them that will believe. Fear not, little flock. It's my good pleasure to give you the keys to the city. So God be for us. I've always said it. Who can be against us? But I know that this coronavirus is bad, and we've got to respect it. It's a killer. It's a disease that no one knows anything about. But I'll tell you one thing I don't do. I don't blame God for it. I know that a lot of people are blaming God and saying, "Well, God is trying to, He sent this upon us." I don't think He allows things to happen to us, but He don't send these things upon us. He allows them to happen. So who knows? I cannot sit before the mic and diagnose this thing and tell you anything, because I'm like you. I don't know no more about it than you do. The only thing I know is I've got to be very cautious and very careful. And that's what you got to do, is pray you one for another. And do like to tell you, don't assemble with people. I know that a lot of people are churches are getting together and all this, and some of them are rebelling again the government over and all that. But I just don't believe that. I believe that we gotta do what they tell us to do. And I'm honoring and I respect what they're saying. So I'm telling my listening audience today, just have faith and don't fear. Believe God.
Garden, dear, with happy days we've known. In spring I'll watch for the roses red, when fades the lilac blue. And in early fall when the brown leaves fall, I'll catch a glimpse of you. Should you go first, then I would remain to finish with a scroll. No lengthening shadows shall creep in to make this life seem droll. We've known so much of happiness, we've had our cup of joy. But memory is one gift of God that even death cannot destroy. Should you go first, then I would remain for the battles to be fought. Each thing you touch along the way, there'll be a hallowed spot. I'll hear your voice, I'll see your smile, and though blindly I may grope, but the memories of your helping hand will buoy me on with hope. Should you go first and I would remain, one thing I'd have you do, just walk slowly down that long, long path, for soon I'll follow you. I want to know each step that you take, that I may walk the same, for someday down that lonely road, you'll hear me call your name.
Yes, sir, someday we'll walk down that lonely road, but listen, a lot of our friends and a lot of our loved ones have already made that journey. We can make it safely to the other side. So let's just hang in there and pray one for another. Jesus always said to his disciples, fear not, I am with you. And he says to us, he's still with us. And I think that fear is a great and dangerous weapon. So the devil uses that against us, but I believe if God be for us, there's no power that will ever stand against us.
Not on an eagle tree, I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip, just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say, I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was all his mind. The look of love was on his face, thorns were on his head, blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red, though his eyes was on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on
send that out to Daryl Olson out there in Arizona. Daryl, hope you're doing well. Take care of yourself. I appreciate the card you sent here, the last card you sent. I appreciate you. They are my web servers, him and Dana Olson and Daryl Olson. They do our internet, and we are worldwide internet today, and I appreciate them. And Daryl, you take care of yourself out there, and we hope to hear from you real soon. Well, let's go right now. I want to talk about something that a lot of people don't understand, and that's called free grace.
Warning that that has intrigued me since the year of 1992. In 1992, something happened in my life, and ever since then, it has been an intriguing moment, something that I have not struggled with, but something that I have been very interested in. I was at Duke University back in 1992, and when I graduated in 92, one of the theologians there mentioned a man's name called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, you may not know who this man is, but he was a German theologian. He lived back in the 20s, born in the 20s. He went to seminar in the 30s, died in the 40s. But Mr. Bonhoeffer was challenged by Hitler and the regime there and the war and all that was going on. He was involved in the Holocaust, involved with the dying of the Jews because of their faith in Christ. And Mr. Bonhoeffer was challenged with a thing called cheap grace. And Mr. Bonhoeffer, he stated in his memoirs and stated in his theological position that I do not accept cheap grace. I condemn cheap grace. I don't know about you, but that don't sell it with me. I'm a kind of a person that when a statement is made like that, I am challenged to find out why. Why did Mr. Bonhoeffer would even make a statement like that, that grace is not cheap. And I condemn those who says it's cheap. Well, I could place him back there with Paul when he had the thorn in the flesh, and I could say, well, Paul found out that grace was really sufficient. Well, this morning we're going to look at this cheap grace, and we're going to find out just how sufficient it really is. And in Romans chapter 6, I want you to read with me if you have your Bibles. Follow with me if you don't. What shall we say then in verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were also baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in his likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Boy, that would preach. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Big question mark. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Father, your word to your people, and all God's people said it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me give you some information here about this Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The first statement that he made was, he spoke out urging his fellow Lutherans, which that's what he was a Lutheran, to reject the idolatry of the Nazis, claiming that the Führer and the state deserved more allegiance than even God. Now that was a situation that Bonhoeffer was brought into at a very early age. Bonhoeffer also condemned Nazi persecution. He condemned the persecution of the Jew, urging the Christian church to stand with the Jew and all of the victims. He also helped some of the Jews to escape the Nazi concentration camps. Early in his influential book that he wrote, was called The Cost of Discipleship, Bonhoeffer had condemned what he called cheap grace, accepting God's love without cost. At the same time, he extolled costly grace, grace that requires radical obedience, even the willingness to die for one's belief, which Bonhoeffer will soon do. Less than a month before the war in Europe ended, the Nazis moved him from prison to prison, from concentration camp to concentration camp, and on April the 9th, 1945, hang him at the age of 39 years old. Cheap grace? I wondered why that they called it cheap grace. And I began to explore the scriptures, and I began to explore the scriptures simply due to the fact, now, who would ever think that grace is cheap? Bonhoeffer made another statement. He said, preaching of the forgiveness without requirement of repentance would truly be cheap grace. John the Baptist came from the mountainside, had lived on locust, weed, and wild honey, wrapped in skins or camel hair, if you please. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came on the scene, the message was, repent. And you know, today, we don't preach too much on repentance. We don't preach that a man must repent to be born again. Repentance seems to be the lost message of the church today. We grow up in a church, we begin as a little child, we come to an age of accountability, we move on up in the ranks, and then we become a full member of the church. We become baptized into the church, we become a member of the church. But have we really become a born-again child of God and a member of the body of Christ? To say that salvation can come without repentance would truly say that grace is cheap. Because Ephesians 2:8, Paul made it very obvious, for by grace are you saved. By faith are you saved through grace. that not of yourself that any should boast, but freely the gift of God. And that's what Paul is saying, and that's what Mr. Bonhoeffer is saying. To think that you can get saved without repentance would truly be accepting cheap grace. And he condemned that. And the Bible condemned that. That's why we begin this verse in chapter 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, Paul is saying, if we can get saved that way, then we don't need God's grace. God's grace is not really sufficient to save us anyhow. But without the grace of Almighty God, no one of us could be saved today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. An old boy went to a revival meeting and the preacher got up and he said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. For by grace are you saved. On Tuesday night he said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. For by grace are you saved. Wednesday night he got up and he said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. For by grace are you saved. Thursday night the evangelist got up and said, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. For by grace are you saved. He goes down the street. A man asked him, sir, are you attending that revival? Been there every night. He said, well, how's it going? He said, well, it's all right. But he said, there's something wrong with that evangelist. Every night, he picks the same verse and preaches the same sermon. And he preaches on John 3:16 and the grace of God. Well, he goes back on Friday night. That night, God got a hold of his heartstrings, pulled him to the altar, and God saved him, amazingly. He goes back on a Saturday night. The preacher got up. He said, God sent me here for a purpose. And he said, I preached every night on John 3:16 in the grace of God. But he said, now we've come to the close of the revival, and I feel we've had great accomplishments. I don't know what to preach on. The old boy stood up in the back of this church and said, preach on 3:16, the grace of God, because that's what saved my soul. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you, that ain't cheap grace. Grace without repentance would truly be a cheap grace. Baptism without discipleship would truly be a cheap grace. We're not baptized into the church. There is not enough water in New River, there's not enough water in the Mississippi River to get you saved. You may get baptized after you've been born again, but if you get baptized without repenting of your sin to be born again, you go down into the watery grave.
I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide. At the close of life's long, weary day, I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river.
That you're for us. You said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. No, I'll be with you all the way, even unto the very end. We realize to a lot of people there's a lot of fear. And the Bible said that because of fear that people would kill themselves. And many things would happen because of this word fear. So we pray that you will help us fight that battle of fear. We're not fearful of anything, Lord. I know that these things happen. We need to be careful about these things. But Lord, we know that your love and protection for us in this radio ministry, I'm saying it to the worldwide ministry today, fear not, little flock, for it's God's blessing to give you the kingdom. It has been good to be with you. I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you're not sick with this coronavirus or I hope that I don't get it, but you know, we just live in hope of today. We live from day to day. I'm not going to put myself in any place. I will have to start doing the broadcast different. I'll be able to mail it out and get it to the radio station. But I do need your help and your support. Don't give up on me now. We've gone too far to look back now. So goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer. You can write to me, Box 2642, Matters Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.